This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we talk with Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff and review a few of the big news stories around the Inland Empire over the past week. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken.
This morning, both you and I agree that there's just one story to talk about. Obviously, not just the biggest story around here in years, but the biggest story around the nation in some time. A story that has completely changed the dialogue of what we've been talking about in this nation for the past few years, and that's terrorism. People around the nation and the world are looking at this story one way, but we here who live here and work here in this region and have friends and family here are experiencing this entirely differently. Let me talk about my first response, and that is, for the past 7 days, we hear San Bernardino, San Bernardino, San Bernardino on the news, in the newspapers, spoken by the President of the United States from the Oval Office. And now the words San Bernardino have come to be a new definition of something that we never imagined here.
Ken, yeah, it reminds me certainly of Columbine or Sandy Hook. These are names that now in the national consciousness mean one thing, and that's a mass shooting of tragic proportions. Certainly the people that I've spoken to over the last week all kind of took comfort that San Bernardino was a place that really nobody on the national or even state level, it wasn't on anybody's radar, it seemed. I think the thing that's different here is this is not an attack from foreign soil. This is homegrown terrorism. People, I think it's very alarming to learn that the husband is someone who grew up in Riverside. He worked for the San Bernardino County Environmental Health Department for 5 years. People there just considered him one of their coworkers. No one knew that he was making these kinds of plans, stockpiling this kind of arsenal. I think that it happened in San Bernardino, I think people around the nation are probably alarmed that they don't know if something like this could be festering in their communities.
And speaking of homegrown, you know, it's one thing for San Bernardino, which has had to deal with bruises and bumps for several years. But then the community of Redlands, this nice little quaint community that is pretty proud of itself, suddenly residents and business people in Redlands are having to consider themselves the home of a terrorist?
Well, you know, in my observation, Redlands has been for quite some time kind of a bedroom community for people who work in San Bernardino. I know judges, lawyers, doctors who live there and work in San Bernardino or outside of Redlands, police officers from San Bernardino, you know, and obviously county and city workers who choose to live in Redlands and commute. It's a short commute, 15, 20 minutes to San Bernardino, where a lot of the jobs are. So in other words, I don't think it's surprising that this couple, you know, familiar with the area, chose apparently 6 months ago to move to Redlands.
You mentioned police. At this point, I think I want to thank you for writing that wonderful profile of Chief Jared Bergwan, Chief of San Bernardino Police, because amid all of the horror that we saw, especially those first few days, it really was comforting to see our local police chief really handling the situation as well or better than any national law enforcement official could handle.
You know, and I'm not the only one who noticed that, Ken. I talked to top law enforcement officers all over the nation who had noticed how calm and solid and comforting, reassuring Bergwan has been through all this. He's held numerous press conferences, particularly in the first days, and never seemed shaken, was just very matter of fact, answering as many questions as he could. I think in talking to him, his purpose was to get the information out to the public. He knew people had a real need to know what was going on. He even talked, I was on a panel with him at University of Redlands. He talked about using Twitter to get the word out quickly to reassure people. I spoke to Jim Bierman, the former Redlands police chief who heads the Police Foundation in Washington, D.C. He said that it's really important to have a reassuring presence like this and for people to hear from the top police officer in situations like this.
Finally, I want to ask you a question and see what you think of this. Will this incident be able to unify constituencies in San Bernardino that have bickered for years to come together to actually do a better job of making San Bernardino better than they have up to now?
I've certainly heard people express that they hope that that's what's going to happen. Not only that, but this spotlight that's shining on San Bernardino right now, people hope that will illuminate the tremendous need there is in the community, and that that will bring resources to not only address this immediate incident, but to address those needs beyond the next weeks and months. Certainly, I saw the elected officials come together the day of the attacks. Many of the council members and members of the State Assembly went to the Hernandez Center where the families of the victims were gathering to wait for word of their loved ones or to be reunited with their loved ones to try to reassure people. And that continued through the vigils that have been held not only in the city and county, but in surrounding cities and counties. I think people are really wanting to lend their support. I hope it brings a spirit of cooperation. I think what I saw after the bankruptcy was declared, that people who probably weren't paying that much attention to their city suddenly became engaged and got involved and went to council meetings, and they recalled some of the council members and elected officials they blamed for the problems and are running for office. So I think there's a new sense of civic engagement, and I hope that this continues in light of what's happened now.
Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.